This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do the Cassandra deal. Cassandra joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Ain't No Stopping Us Now by McFadden and Whitehead. Some classic 1970s Philly soul. In honor of the Super Bowl winning Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, so there you go. You wrote about, attended the Grizzlies Oklahoma City Thunder game. What'd you think?
This is a basketball game that the Grizzlies lost. That's a thing that happened. They were outclassed pretty bad, and then they, especially in the first half, and got down even more in the third quarter. And, you know, they picked it up, but there's always the thing where if another team is up big, you expect that they let up a little bit. So I wouldn't want to make too much of the Grizzlies narrowing the score. But I thought, you know, it reflected what, frankly, the standings reflect, which is that there's a pretty big gap between the Grizzlies and the Thunder, more than just one and two would indicate. But I thought in the second half, there was some stuff there that I think, you know, is maybe a little bit of a preview of coming attractions in terms of Vince Williams and in terms of the use of Santi Aldama as the Grizzlies start to sort of hone their rotations and lineups, you know, as they head towards the playoffs.
I'll ask you about Vince and Santi here in a moment. Just in terms of the gap, and obviously they're without Dort, Holmgren, and Wallace, right? So,
They've been without Holmgren pretty much all season, you know, and then right. They've been doing this. And so,
but they will have him back. He's returned. Yes, yeah.
Right. But when you talk about the gap, it's not just a Grizzlies thing. Like,
right.
I mean, they're further ahead of everyone else than the Grizzlies in the standings. If you look at the defense, the gap between, I had this in the column, but the gap between Oklahoma City at first and whoever is second is the same as the gap between second and 11th. They are just so good. They're just running off on the whole thing right now.
No, they're tremendous. They're elite, and the Grizzlies are a very good team. The Grizzlies are the second best in the West and the fourth best in the league, according to the numbers. But I don't know where in terms of what separates these two, the large separation that it is now. We'll start with this. You've got Jalen Wells and Zach Edey as starters, and as you pointed out in the column, basically. Taylor Jenkins at the beginning of the third quarter said, yeah, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, that was interesting. That felt like a playoff kind of like move you make in a game where you're really trying to win. But it's also the kind of move like in the playoffs where you wonder, like, was that too quick of a hook? to not come back with those guys. I'm interested to see them going forward. Like, I think they'll be fine. I think they're going to start tomorrow night, and, you know, we'll see the rest of the way. But I think there's a real question about, you know, not only whether they will both still be starting come playoff time, but even more so, like, it's less about the starting than the minutes. Like, are they, where are they going to be in the pecking order? Where are they going to be in terms of their roles? And so I do think, you know, I think one way or the other, the roles they've had in the regular season are likely to be lower come playoff time for those guys. Yeah.
It's interesting because, of course, with Zach Edey, we've seen it fluctuate anyway. Like, it's been sort of, he's settled into sometimes there are games that are matchup where it seems to be working, other games that he's not, whatnot. Jalen, and so there it really isn't even that much of a change from what's been happening.
Right.
With Jalen, he's been counted on. The difference there is, though, and we'll get to it, the difference there is, in fact, the presence of Vince Williams Jr., right? Like, if his role is different, it's because some other player's role is ascending, and that's Vince Williams Jr., who was maybe the single biggest bright spot to that game over the weekend.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much ahead of it. This is only his fifth game of the season, his second game back from his second extended injury absence. So I think, you know, whatever his role is going to be come playoff time, if it's greater than it is now, it's going to gradually get to that point. I don't think Vince Williams is going to start and play 30 minutes tomorrow night. But I do think this is something that could grow and evolve between now and the start of the playoffs. And I don't want to get ahead of it, but I have my own hunches about how important he's going to be by then.
Well, I think it's interesting. You and Drew, I would urge you to read both pieces, folks. They're both very good and both very different in different ways. You literally both ended with the same quote from Taylor Jenkins saying he's very important to our future. And I didn't know whether to read that exactly as it clearly does apply to the next 3 years' future. But I'll be honest, I'll be surprised if he's not playing 30 plus minutes in the playoffs by the time the playoffs roll around. And that seems,
I agree.
I don't know which future did you think Taylor Jenkins was talking about?
Well, I think both, but particularly he's talking about this season. He's talking about getting to the playoffs and not, you know, the guy who's had the ankle thing. I think they've really taken their time the second time around with it because he didn't quite look like himself the first time around when they brought him back. And the longer part of that quote is that we don't want this to linger. When he's talking about lingering, he's not talking about 3 years from now. He's talking about the next 3 months. And so they don't want they don't want, like, him to be on the ankle to be ginger, you know, in mid-April or whatever. I think part of that Marcus Smart trade, it was primarily a vote of no confidence in Marcus Smart. But I think underlying that is, I think they believe Vince Williams was more likely to play the role they envisioned Marcus Smart to play in the playoffs than Marcus Smart was, which is not just like good perimeter defender, which is what Jalen Wells has been, but good perimeter defender who is a chaos agent, who wreaks havoc, who is a physical presence and is mucking things up and disrupting things. And like the kind of defender Wells has been is a I guard my guy defender. Vince Williams is good at that too, but he's a guy who, like, he's a little bit more of the Tony Allen school of, like, he makes things happen.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's very much, I mean, let's be honest, it's what you were suggesting might be their best lineup before the season ever began, and yet injuries derailed it. But even when we talked about Marcus Smart in there instead, Jalen, at least when we're looking at the season in advance, Jalen Wells was never a consideration. It was really for Marcus Smart only out of deference to his seniority that people would plug him in as opposed to Vince Williams. And here we are, maybe returning to Vince Williams, which, you know, seems like maybe a possible solution to all of this, or partial solution.
I believed, and it may very well be that I was and continue to be out over my skis on this, but I believe coming into the season, you know, setting the injury stuff aside, I'm not sure when it popped up that then said an injury thing, but middle of the summer, once like the moves were made, I thought Vince Williams was going to end up being the fourth best player on the team. And I kind of still think that.
Well, and let's be honest, we kind of hope so. Right at this point.
Right.
Because he's sort of the kind of fourth best player that it would be good to have.
When I say that, I don't mean fourth leading scorer. I'm not talking about that. You look at the game against OKC, he's one of three. and like the stat line's nothing, but like they're plus 10 in a game where they're losing by double digits, and like that can be a mirage. But if you were watching that game, the temperature changed when he went out there in that lineup.
Yeah. So you also had a line in your column that once upon a time that Ja Morant would have ranked ahead of, I forgot how you phrased it, but in the basic pecking order of young up-and-coming guards, Ja Morant was ahead of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Certainly Nike thought so.
Well, I mean, who cares about Nike? I mean, the All-NBA vote and the MVP votes thought so.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that is no longer the case. And that's, you know, obviously Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has gotten dramatically, continued to improve, and Ja hasn't had off seasons to improve, right? I think that's
right.
That's been a part of it. He was 16 points, 6 of 19 from the field. What did you make of Ja's game? And then, of course, he had the additional complication of his dad getting tossed.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as bad as the Knicks game, but it felt kind of similar to the Knicks game in which it felt like he just wanted to force his way, you know, to attack and score, and it wasn't working out, and he wasn't getting calls, and he was frustrated by that, and the defense was keen on it. And, I mean, part of that is finding the balance between the scoring and the playmaking, and partly is that for whatever reason, he has not been as dynamic when he decides to go score this season as he was in the past. So, like, the Morant thing still, like, looms to me. I mean, I wrote a column a week ago, a little bit more than a week ago, and, like, after I wrote that column, he had two great games in a row, and they won, and, like, hey, everything's great. But, like, he's played four games since then. Two of them have been great. One, he missed for injury, and the other was, like, another big game where he underperformed. And I stand by the column that I wrote, and I'll go back to where I landed with it, which is that we can talk all we want about, you know, how much the rookies will play and who's going to, you know, be the defensive guy and all this. It all starts, in terms of their upside, with getting a healthy, effective, and engaged Morant, and getting that for a sustained period of time. I mean, he hasn't played more than four games in a row since early December. And so can you get 15 straight good Ja games in the spring? Like, that's really the biggest thing.
Yeah, I like the way you put it. It looms. It certainly does feel like it still looms. It is interesting because if you compare, you know, we used to talk about the Grizzlies' big three versus Oklahoma City's big three. Oklahoma City now has many more than three. Like, it just keeps going with Oklahoma City. I guess there's three, but Jaren has obviously taken a step forward. Like, the Grizzlies in that way have gotten better. Ja has not. Dez has kind of been Dez, I guess, or maybe a slightly less impactful version of Dez. The big guns all play pretty heavy minutes in this one. What did you make of, like, how, and you've sort of predicted that's what would happen in the playoffs. It's interesting, though, when you win one way in the regular season by going 10 deep, and then, I don't know, it doesn't feel like Scottie Pippen really is capable of be an impactful player in a game like this. Luke was having a hard time getting shots in a game like this. I don't know. Thoughts on the rotation generally in this game?
Well, I mean, again, it's an 82-game season, and so, yes, you need to prepare your team for the playoffs, but part of preparing for your team for the playoffs is, like, getting guys there healthy. Right. Part of that is winning enough games so that, like, you're well-positioned. And so I do think, you know, you have to gradually, you know, get yourself to, like, more of a playoff kind of rotation and hope that you get to one that sticks and not one you're, like, you know, scrapping and reinventing on the fly, which sometimes happens. But, like it's okay for, like, you know, game 50 to not look exactly like what the first game of the playoffs is going to look like. And so, you know, I think it's a process. I think the questions you raise are all, like, questions that are out there. And I do think this last 30 games they have to play, I mean, I wrote a little bit about this morning, and I'll go up later today, but, like, you know, post-trade deadline is sort of the rosters are set or reset, and people know what teams know where they're at in terms of a playoff race, and then that last 30 games is going to be about A, you know, competing for playoff positioning, and B, honing your lineups and rotations to get them ready. And I think that accelerates once you get past the trade deadline and you start sort of moving down the stretch.
It's funny because it feels a little, It feels a little ungenerous, like the tenor of this, if I'm asking, why the hell aren't the Grizzlies as good as the Thunder? Well, the Thunder may be the best team in the league, and this has been a very good year, and the Grizzlies are fourth. Like, I would, you know, the Grizzlies are ahead of Denver and the Lakers and Houston and the Clippers and the Warriors and Minnesota, and I would not have predicted that at this point. And Dallas, and I would not have predicted that. I think it's just the natural thing to say, okay, what's the next horizon to conquer, and the next horizon beat them over the head the other day, and so people tend to be a little demoralized by that. The other thing that happened, of course, is this is right after the trade deadline, where they didn't get better, and disgorged Marcus Smart, and so some might say, what, Marcus Smart wouldn't have helped in this game? And I totally respect them for making the decision that he would not have necessarily helped in this game. I don't actually, at this point, second guess that, you know, although knee-jerk some might. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, if you look at this team and what they've done in this era, like, beating the Thunder is not actually the next horizon to conquer, because they haven't made it to a conference finals. And so Oklahoma City is going to be the one seed. The Grizzlies will be the 2, 3, 4, something like that. The best they've done is game 6 of the second round in this iteration. If they play the Thunder in the playoffs, it will be in the conference finals, which will mean they have gotten further than they have gotten before in this iteration. And so there are steps on the ladder they have to cross before they worry about the Thunder in the playoffs. And I think if you get to a conference finals, like, I'd probably even set the pastel line slightly, maybe even slightly below that. But, like, that would be a good outcome. Like getting to the conference finals and get blasted by the Thunder, like, it wouldn't feel good to get blasted, but it'd feel good to get there, you know?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I thought about the pass-fail line and whatever. To me, the pass-fail line is winning a playoff series. That's the pass-fail line, I would think. And maybe I've even changed that from the start of the year. But I think that's my new pass-fail line, is winning a playoff series. What would yours be?
It'd be a competitive second-round series. I think if winning a playoff series and getting swept in the second round, that's not good enough. But a competitive second-round series, I think, again, that wouldn't be meeting all expectations. That wouldn't be a rousing success. But as a pass-fail line, to me, a competitive second-round series is where I would put it.
Now, you won't play the Thunder unless it's the conference, except for the conference finals, if you can stay.
Unless you drop down to 4, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So they're 1.5 up on Denver. They are 2.5 up on Houston. They are 3 up on the Lakers. Who do you see as the chief challenger for 2? Who scares you more, Denver or Houston?
I think it's probably Denver. I think Houston, I mean, it could be any of those three. It's not going to be surprising.
Right.
But I think Houston is legit as a regular season team, but I think they've been above their heads a little bit to get all the way up to 2. I think the Lakers are plenty scary. Luka hasn't even played for them yet, and they're rising up. But I think that defense is going to be bad. I think Denver's got the best player in the world. They got muscle memory of a team that's won a title, even though a couple of those guys are gone. And so if I had to choose one of those three, it's most likely to knock the Grizzlies off, you know, and get up to 2nd. If that happens, it's probably Denver.
And if that happens, you're at 3, then you'd be playing Denver in the next round. It would be interesting. They don't really have any history with Denver, do they? They've never played Denver in the playoffs. There's nothing.
Never in the playoffs. There's not a lot of regular season heat there. So, no, there's not a lot of there with Denver.
Lakers obviously lose Mark Williams, goes back to Charlotte. And the problem is this: when this happens at the trade deadline, you can't remake it, and you can't make a new deal to go get a player who does what you thought he would do. What did you make of that, and what do you now make of the Lakers going forward without him?
If I were a conspiracy theory guy, which I'm not, but if I were, it would be you didn't really want to do that deal, but you wanted Luka to think you were trying to do that deal. And so, like, now it's like, oh, Luka, we tried to get your lob threat, but oops, the medicals didn't work out. Now it's too late, so we can't do it. But, hey, we still got that draft pick we really did want to trade to begin with. That's probably not the situation, but I sort of wonder about that. I don't know. That was an exciting trade for the Lakers, especially if you watch Mark Williams play the one game against the Grizzlies this season.
Right.
But given the level of injury history he's had and given the magnitude of the pick they gave up, I bet long term they're not that broken up about taking a mulligan on that one.
And then, of course, elsewhere, you got AD has a triumphant debut with the Mavs, and that was out week to week. And Luka's still out. So the fallout continues. I don't know. Like, Dallas could miss the playoffs if there's maybe not. But
no, there's a real chance. I mean, what if, like, Dallas and Phoenix both missed the play-in? Like, that would be something. That could happen. My dream, though, has been the Lakers. We're not going to get this, but my dream has been the Lakers, Mavs, Phoenix, Golden State play-in tournament. That would be a lit play-in tournament. Let's get all the stars who have been in part of all the drama and all put them in a play-in tournament while the Thunder and the Rockets and the Grizzlies and the Nuggets are just hanging out waiting.
Jimmy Butler was good too in his debut for Golden State. It was against the Bulls. They were down big, come back to win. He has 25. Okay, Chris, did you watch the halftime show?
I did. I was driving during the game, but I watched the halftime show on YouTube when I got home. Thought it was great. I'm sure a lot of people hate it, but I thought it was great. I thought it was sort of stirring and purposeful and spare in an interesting way, which is abnormal for those kind of things. The thing about the Super Bowl halftime show is that it's meant to be like a big spectacle, like hosted by a brand name entertainer. And I think more than most people who have been asked to do that, Kendrick Lamar is more artist than entertainer. And he did not treat that as an entertainment platform or a promotional opportunity. He treated it as a canvas and did interesting stuff with it, which I appreciated.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks.
Chris will have another piece going up later today at the Daily Memphian with his thoughts on the Grizzlies. I do think it's important to keep it in context. The Thunder are really, really, really good. They're just really, really, really good. The Grizzlies are pretty damn good, too. Like, if you're 25 other teams, you'd be very happy to be where the Grizzlies are. They just happen to be 7.5 games behind the Oklahoma City Thunder. And so that's, you know, it's bracing. It's bracing if you'd like to be as good as the Thunder. But whatever. Vince Williams Jr. is on the way back. All right. Oak Hall, by the way, perfect twofer here to get to Oak Hall this week because the semi-annual sale is continuing. Savings up to 70% throughout the store on men's and women's fall and winter merchandise. It's getting chilly here again in Memphis. And so sets the mood, get in there, take advantage of the best savings of the year. But I also heard over the weekend from the women's department, when you stop in there to get some stuff for yourself at the women's department, they've got stunning jewelry of their own. There's a jewelry maker named Brackish, who actually used to make, known particularly for making bow ties for men and using feathers as part of the bow ties for men. They're out of Charleston. And I saw some of this, some of this beautiful handmade jewelry, which incorporates gold plated, and then there's partridge feathers and quail feathers and peacock feathers. It is absolutely striking. So when you're in there, taking advantage of the semi-annual sale, ask to see if you're Valentine's shopping, have to see, go to the women's department and check out the beautiful jewelry they have as well. They also have the EF collection of jewelry that's out of Los Angeles. They've got beautiful stuff, gold pieces, statement pieces, all sorts of beautiful things that could make someone very happy, as you yourself are making yourself happy with your big savings at Oak Hall. All right, we're going to take a break. Oh, more Super Bowl stuff, more NFL news. It's a busy show. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We got a lot to talk about, more NFL stuff, more Super Bowl stuff. John, Jeffrey, I want to start with this stat. Ready? This is from College CFB Home on Twitter. Points scored by college in the Super Bowl. Memphis leads the way with 16. Ole Miss with 6. Iowa with 6. Oklahoma with 6. Alabama with 6. Texas with 6. Clemson with 6. Penn. Is that, and then Penn with 2. How about that? So there you go. Is that Pennsylvania? Is it their kicker? Who's their kicker? Their kicker went to where?
Harrison Butker.
Yeah, where'd he go?
I don't know. Penn doesn't.
Here's, according to CFB Home, though, all time Super Bowl scoring.
No, but
Memphis
so
fourth.
So Butker.
Penn State?
Yeah, no, Butker went to Georgia Tech, but he didn't score. It was one of the two-point plays was caught by a
right.
tight end.
Of course, yeah. Right, that's right.
Yeah.
Memphis.
So Gostkowski?
Yeah, Gostkowski's obviously Jake Elliott, whatever. Memphis is fourth all-time. Super Bowl scoring, the University of Memphis, fourth all-time with 75 points, according to CFB Home on Twitter. So there you go. Nice. Memphis continues. Listen, if you want to score in the Super Bowl, it's like your desire is to score points in the Super Bowl, there are only three schools better than Memphis that can better set you up for that. So something to take away from yesterday's Super Bowl. All right, Jeffrey, we haven't talked much about the advertising, the commercials. What'd you think overall?
Overall, I thought they were fine.
Fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the biggest problem I have is the commercials that oftentimes I wind up thinking I like the most are ones that are released ahead of time. And your brothers mentioned the reason why
they can still count those, though. But then when you see them, you're not laughing anew.
Correct.
Right?
Because, like, I've already, you don't have the experience of seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, Tim says, and this is true, Tim predicted, he said the one thing we can predict is that everyone's going to say the ads weren't that good. And that's because you remember the iconic ads. We get one or two every Super Bowl, maybe. I don't know. I don't think there was anything maybe iconic this Super Bowl. But you got iconic ads over the years, ads that one people might remember. But they're from many, many Super Bowls, and they accumulate in your mind. Most ads are just ads. And the truth of the matter is, there's so damn many ads that are just for movies,
sure.
Or TV shows, or like whatever. They're not even like these necessarily.
They're just trailers,
particularly, yeah, they're just trailers. And so that partly struck me yesterday. But let's pick. And the other thing that is interesting, like I picked one I was amused by and liked, and I saw it in someone's ranking, certainly in the bottom third that I read this morning,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is, I'm going to concede right off the top, this is a totally subjective enterprise of picking the best Super Bowl commercials. But let's, give me one you liked.
I really liked the Dunkin' Donuts one with Casey and Ben Affleck and with Jay and Silent Bob, and then you had Belichick, and then Jeremy Strong, who's kind of a weirdo actor. Like I kind of thought it was self-aware, and I enjoyed it.
I just thought it was kind of a mess. I just thought it was kind
of. There's apparently a 7-minute version of it.
Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't care. Tim looks at all these things, and his Kellogg panel looks at all these things through the prism of, is it an effective way of selling
the product?
Right. And I think his complaint, I saw it on Twitter, was, is this really a way to, you got Jeremy Strong soaking in the coffee beans. And then I did like the fact that they were just clearly mocking Starbucks. You've got this other coffee team
yep.
that's competing against them, and they're all getting green, right?
Yep.
And they got and whatever, and they, and so they're very clear. It's very clearly they're mocking Starbucks.
And I like the guy at the end, the guy in green at the end that was tasting the iced coffee. He's like, it's pretty good,
right? And then you got Ben Affleck saying, "It was a Ben Affleck who said, man, beans and water, like just
that was his brother. That was Casey.
That was Casey said
yeah.
that.
And
beans
then Casey
and water.
Also had like a line of like, really couldn't get Matt for this."
But yeah, right. I like that. I like the couldn't let get Matt for this. The should have paid Matt. He said,
"Yeah, should have paid Matt for this.
Should have paid Matt for this." I like that. I just don't think, like, if I was looking at it through Tim's prism, you're literally degrading your product when you just say beans and water, man. You know?
Yeah. No.
Or maybe
I understand all that. Like Tim would probably disagree with me. Like my favorite ad campaign of like the last decade is the Progressive Insurance with Dr. Rick. And, like, it doesn't do anything.
I love Dr.
Like,
Rick.
But Dr. Rick makes me laugh every time. But
so,
Tim would say, like, they don't show the product.
One I liked that we talked about Friday, I still think – I saw it in advance. I still think it was one of the best I saw was the Matthew McConaughey one about
– I have it on my list, too. I've actually enjoyed McConaughey with the Uber Eats because that's been a
the
campaign.
Uber Eats, yeah.
That's been a campaign throughout
good.
Football that, football is just designed to make you eat. And as someone who eats a lot of food on NFL Sundays, I'm hoping
the
he's right.
The history of football mm-hmm. as, you got Ditka's telling refrigerator he's got to be called the refrigerator.
Yeah. Do I have to be called the refrigerator?
Buffalo wing.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a funny ad.
I agree.
And I don't care about linkage. I do agree with Tim that the only time he says it's dangerous to have the only linkage be at the end of the spot, right? Like you had that home.com ad.
Yep.
Which is like literally say home.com, home.com, like throughout the whole shtick was that you can't say Homes.com.
Homes.com's the best.
Homes.com's the best. That's it. And so you have a million people saying it. Tim says it's dangerous to have the just the tag be the thing at the end, right? And but I don't care about linkage. I just care about amusement for me. That's how I'm grading them, which I liked. And so I would put that one, I would put the Uber Eats one in my one that I liked. I think the one that I liked maybe the best, that kind of surprised me, that I really liked, was the Stella ad with the two Davids.
With Beckham and his brother, the long-lost brother.
The wrong David, the other David. So David Beckham, his parents sit him down and tell him there's another David. They call him, and he's a twin. And his name was Other David. Yep. Well, what are you going to call him when you got one David? What are you going to call the other one Other David? And he gave him up for adoption, and he was raised in the United States. And he's your typical schmo, right? Mm-hmm. Like in a cul-de-sac, whatever, eating chicken wings, eating buffalo wings, whatever. And David Beckham's kind of disappointed that this is his twin brother. It's Matt Damon looking a little schlumpy, right? And then, except for someone then throws Matt Damon the football and he boots it into the freaking stratosphere and just says, hey, just a thing I do. And that they both drink Stella. So that's where I thought that was neatly done.
That was one that I heard, but I didn't see because I was taking care of my daughter at that point. But I do agree because also
the kick gag was a visual gag. He just like he kicks it and he is.
Well, it's like you want to get famous in America, don't play soccer.
Okay, give me another one.
I also had Uber Eats. I agree with you. I enjoyed that one. I liked the Tom Brady Duracell one.
Loved it. Loved it.
At the end, I thought that was a good ad.
Well, I mean, so you got Tom Brady talking and then he dies, right? Yep. And then someone put in the wrong kind of battery. They open him up.
Yeah.
I actually think.
He's got it. Tom runs on Duracell.
I think given. It's Tom playing, having a sense of humor about himself, too, because he is perceived to be robotic and he's making fun of himself. I thought it was great. What did he say at the end? You said you liked the end.
Oh, no, the end when they put, what does he say? Like, I've got to go get Edelman next, or was it, I got to get Gronk? Gronk next.
I got to go get Gronk. Yeah. Got to get Gronk next.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on my list of winners. It was on my list of winners. Okay, I'll give you one I liked. I thought the breasts were good. I thought the breasts were good. And in fact, if you're going to ask me what ad will be remembered 15 years ago, hence from this Super Bowl, my answer would be none. That would be my first answer, right? Maybe I'd say the Hellman's ad where they redo the Meg Ryan, Billy Crystal orgasm thing. I didn't love it just because it seemed, I don't know. A little obvious or something, and whatever. I hate to say it. Aging takes it out on someone. She was cuter when she was me too. By the way, 30 years ago.
Well, then they threw Sydney Sweeney in at the end.
So, it was like that might be remembered for that, but I think it will be remembered for the breast ad if it's remembered for anything.
So when did it run? Because I kept waiting for it, and I guess I missed it.
It was the second half.
that might explain it.
There are some ads I missed and I had to go back and watch this morning because I did not watch as intently. And at the end they had Wanda Sykes at breast conference. You know, it wasn't just boobs being flashed. It was like boobs get all this attention for the, you know, whatever. You should pay attention to them for this reason too. I thought it was good. I really liked it. I'll rattle off some others real quick that I liked and you can tell me what you think. I liked the Eli Payton thing. And I liked that Eli beat his big brother in the kick of
destiny. I liked that. I liked the float of the foot going through Bourbon Street when Eli was on top of that.
I thought that was cute. The hex clad. Did you see that? It was also second half, so you may not have seen it. Actually, it ran right after the Duracell ad. It ran right after the Brady. Did it? Yes, right after or before the Brady ad, I think. The hex clad. A type of frying pan or whatever.
Oh, with Gordon Ramsay?
It had Gordon Ramsay and Pete Davidson, and the whole shtick is that this was invented by aliens or something.
Yeah.
And so Gordon Ramsay then turns to the quote-unquote alien, and there's an alien-looking dude, but it turns out, no, the alien's actually Pete Davidson. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute. But all of these were just kind of cute, right? What was, oh, the other one I liked, and it was very controversial, that ranked low on a lot of people's lists.
All right.
Angel Soft. Did you see that one? That's a toilet paper ad.
No, remind me of what you said.
It ran right at the end of halftime, and it told people, yo, go to the bathroom. Now, go. Now's your time. It's a little bunny, I think, that was telling everyone, this is a moment when you can get up and go to the bathroom. And the bunny's sitting there juggling the toilet paper, whatever. And then he says, still here? Why are you still here? This is the moment. You're supposed to. I don't know. Like, some people thought it was dumb. I thought it was cute.
Yeah, I was definitely on Josephine duty at that one.
When are you supposed to go to the bathroom during the Super Bowl? I think it's a fair question. And then I'll rattle off some others. I thought Nike was good. Their women's ad was good. I think the Jesus ad does a good job. I like the Jesus ad. I like a Michelob Light ad, Pickleball. That was William Dafoe.
Yeah, and Catherine O'Hare.
Yeah, that one was good.
Did you like the Mountain Dew one?
What?
Did you like the Mountain Dew one with Seal?
No, I hated it. But I gather some people liked it. I thought it was unnerving. You like Seal?
I mean, yeah. I thought it was fine. I just, the CGI is always weird to me.
Channing Tatum teaching the Wrexham soccer players to dance was perfectly cute. Weirdly enough, it was such a low bar for ads that the Indy 500 ads were as good as anything else, I thought. Okay, bad ads. What were the ads you hated?
So the one that I just was out on, the kid born with a cowboy hat, Tubi.
That was disgusting.
No, thank you.
And what the hell? No, thank you. Absolutely. There were some really weird ads. The Tubi ad with the cowboy hat, the Coffee Mate ad with the tongue.
Yeah.
I would put the Seal ad in that same category.
Eyebrows. The eyebrows with Eugene Levy.
Eyebrows. It's just, I don't think facial hair sells food. Now, the Pringles one was at least better because it was a mustache, and the Pringles guy has a mustache. And so if you're going to do facial hair and food, that was much better than the little pizza things for Little Caesars with the eyebrows, which was just disgusting.
I was happy to see my boy Seth Cohen get some work, too, so that was big.
The Rocket ad, I resented it. So it had the ad of people singing Take Me Home, Country Road, little scenes, Take Me Home.
And that was another activation. That's like we were talking about.
I resent that. Then they're trying to use the entire stadium as props, and you cut to the stadium where they're supposed to be singing Take Me Home, and yet most of them weren't. You know, I resented it.
Yeah,
I resented the
amount of activations. I don't know how much of the NFL honors you watched, but they like made up an award for an activation with AWS, the like most improbable play, and I was like, oh my god! And then I was happy to see the commish finally sold some real estate space. Did you see the coach's headsets were powered by Verizon last night?
I did see that.
I was just happy to see them get a little extra cash.
The other thing I took away though was that a lot of the ads felt like they were just doing a type of ad that was, it was a perfectly representative, fine example of the ad, but was just not inspired. Like the Bud ad with the Clydesdale was fine. It was a medium of the road Clydesdale. Like, I'm not going to hate a little horse, but
yeah,
whatever.
But like there's better Clydesdale ads was my
right. Exactly. The Doritos ad with the aliens trying to take your Doritos. It just felt like a little cliche. Some people liked Harrison Ford and the Jeep ad. To me, it was a little, that's fine. It's just another version of that. The NFL ad, Be Somebody.
Oh, thank you.
Even Snoop and the anti-Semitism ad was Snoop and Tom Brady. Fine. They just seemed to be like reasonable versions of themselves, but not anything inspired. Oh, the other ad I really hated was Circle, which is a drink or something, a bottle.
So
I didn't
some type
even
of
understand
water.
It. Didn't so, even really understand it.
Yeah, and I feel like when their point of that ad was to try to explain it.
Yeah. Other NFL news, real quick, we got to get to, and then we will let folks go because Jason and John are coming up next. We did have the Jets deciding they're going to move on from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
That to me sounds like ownership got their way because the way it was presented to me is like Glenn would have taken him, but ownership did not want him back.
We already knew that Cooper Kupp was allowed to seek a trade. Now Debo also allowed to seek a trade. Kind of weirdly, kind of similar players in some ways, right? They're not stretch the field guys, but they're guys you want to get the ball into their hands. And Brock Purdy evidently will get an extension this summer, if anyone has fretted about that. The way is cleared now, don't you think, for Kellen Moore, the Eagles OC, to go to the Saints? Do we expect that next?
I mean,
maybe it's already been announced.
Yeah, I think it was basically announced yesterday, and then Sirianni tried to do the let's run this S back, but you know, I think they said on the post game, it's like, I don't think that's happening.
And then there's other, there was other NBA news as well, but that mostly captures it for another NFL season. Your favorites for next year's Super Bowl, Jeffrey? Philadelphia Eagles, and that seems appropriate, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, because I also think the Eagles have an advantage. Like, this is kind of the other thing about the AFC right now. It's like, it's not just, okay, you've got to go beat Josh, you've got to beat, you know, Mahomes. It's like, oftentimes you got to beat Burrow, Josh, Mahomes, like, in the same playoffs. Whereas NFC, like, what?
Shout out to Jalen Hurts for winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The four best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, Jaden Daniels, we'll see. Like, he's right there. He might be one of the four best or five best, you know, if he can do it again. And I don't doubt that he can. But the four best quarterbacks in the league are all in the AFC.
Yes.
And so there's no question he has an advantage that he is doing it in the NFC. I still do believe in the end. Like, I think they would have beaten the hell out of the Bills yesterday, too.
I think the best team in the league won.
I think, yeah, they weren't the best team all year long necessarily, but they did.
But
absolutely.
Basically from October 1st, they really were.
Uh-huh.
Like, they had a very slow start, but basically from October 1, that team was the best team.
Hey, shout out to Memphis softball. First time ever mentioned on the Jeff Calkins show, by the way. But the first hire, the new coach was the first hire that Ed Scott made, actually. They have won five straight to start the season. They have scored 55 runs in five games. Last year, took them 28 games to score 55 runs. So, want to highlight folks who deserve a highlight. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here is what's coming up next on Jason and John. We've got, of course, another big day. Jeff's going to join them at 1:25. Hurd will be back with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jason Munns is going to join us at 2:25. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. Oh, actually, I'll tell people this. The next 3 days, I am not on the show because I'm involved in some legal proceedings, Jeffrey. Not me, the extended family. You know what we're doing? We're on the side of the good guy here. In northern Michigan, there's a rich guy who's near our cabin who is trying to pave the wilderness. And we're involved in a lawsuit trying to get him, stop him from paving the wilderness. And so for the next 3 days, Jeffrey is going to hold down the fort. Drew is going to join him as well. And I'll be back on Friday. So take care. Back then. For now, our work is done.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.